pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great America, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here, as always.
It's great to be here. Another Monday under our belt and the weekend into July. It is July 10th. We're getting through this year pretty rapidly. And, you know, before you know it, summer's going to be over. And we have talking winter and snow and ice and frigid. And, oh, goodness gracious. Then it's election year.
Right, and according to Kerry, this is the hottest time ever on planet Earth.
Oh, God, that's
just, what a moron.
Climate con man, John Kerry. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about him. The climate con man is with the Frello fraud at the NATO summit in Lithuania. So they brought along con man Kerry to spew his climate crisis crap. From the World Economic Forum, the New World Order's World Economic Forum, and to extract more money from taxpayers from around the world for their con game called climate change. Hey, tomorrow, by the way, is July 11th, 7-11. And guess what? 7-11 is going to have free Slurpees tomorrow. And they are, I think they're 70-something years old, I think. I'm 7-Eleven. I'm trying to think how old. I put it down. I couldn't remember. Anyways, but if you go to 7-Eleven, and if you're a rewards member of 7-Eleven, there are some other freebies that you could, that you can embark on. So keep it out there. You know, if you drive by a 7-Eleven, stop in, get your free Slurpee, and if you're a rewards member, show your rewards and you can get some other items at discounts or like a free hot dog or something like that. So I plan on going to get my Slurpee tomorrow.
Hey, I haven't had a Slurpee in years.
Me neither. I haven't had it. It's been so long. It's probably been about 5 years, maybe. Yeah, maybe 5 years. So, yeah. You know, we all talk about – and how clever, July 11th, right?
Yeah, I guess there won't be another one for, what, probably another 50 years maybe?
No, another year, 7-11, July 11th.
Oh. Oh, they happen every year, the 7-11?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
They're 96 years old. They're owned by the Southland Company. You know what? Next year, but Greta Thunberg did say that the world was supposed to end on June 21st, and so she was wrong. So maybe, you know, Greta will change that to July 23rd of 2024. So
you're saying Greta Thunberg will be able to get a 7-Eleven Slurpee next year, too, for free?
Yeah. Yeah. If they provide
and the year after that.
Yeah.
I don't know, 7-Eleven, whoever came up with this campaign, I don't know if they thought about this as a yearly attack on their bottom line, but I don't know. Like you said, you may go in there and buy one of those hot dogs that have been on the hot dog machine for 3 weeks. Rolling around.
That's funny you say that. A buddy of mine, I go into 7-Eleven, I see a friend of mine in there. And I said, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting a coffee and a dog. And he goes, oh, my God, don't get the dogs. I said, what? He goes, don't get the dogs. I said, you get, so I got the coffee. He goes, wait, when you get done, I want to show you something. So we go around the back, and where he was walking, he cut through, and there was a hot dog that was on the ground. He says, this hot dog has been here for 3 weeks. And look at the condition of it. It's in the same condition as it was when I first saw it 3 weeks ago. He goes, don't buy the hot dogs. I said, oh, but they're delicious, you know? So now I get a pretzel.
And this is a great public service announcement for all people who are going to 7-Eleven to get your Slurpee tomorrow. Don't get the hot dogs.
I do like their coffee, though. I like their coffee. I must say they have some good dark roasted coffees. So, and they're cold. Yeah, right.
It has improved tremendously over the years. It's almost like 7-Eleven's having to compete with Wawa in the coffee department. And as this great capitalistic competition has forced 7-Eleven to up their coffee game to compete with Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, and Wawa, and they are competing at a much higher level than they did 10 years ago.
They are. I'm not a fan of Wawa's coffee. I rather Racetrack has got some great coffee. Their dark roasted is really good. I like them. They're pretty good.
Interesting. So. I prefer the Wawa, but I'll take the Starbucks, even though I hate them politically. Everything they do gets me torqued and angry, but damn if they don't have the best Americano coffee ever.
I know. So you know what? On Fridays, I talk about Thompson cigars. Today, we're talking about hot dogs. Thanks, Holter. So like we start off every Monday, the PGA this past week was in at the John Deere Classic, and it's normally the last PGA Tour event before the British Open, but they kind of reschedule things, so there's another week for the Scottish Open, because the Scottish Open is now kind of a relevant, and it should be a relevant Open. It's only like 100 years old. But it's one of the last spots for players to earn a spot on the British the British Open. Sunday's round saw Austrian Sepp Straka take charge and surge ahead of the pack, pulling out to a 4-shot lead, and he was on his way to potentially shooting a rare 59. That is actually a great feat. It'd be 13 under par. However, on the 18th hole, Straka hooked his approach shot, a 7-iron. Into the water. He hit a high sweeping hook to a pin that was on the left side. I could not believe that. If I'm his caddy, I'm calling him off and saying, just hit it to the middle of the green. You're putting fantastic. And anyways, in the end, on the 18th hole, he took a double bogey. So his lead went from 4 shots to 2. And the leaders, who were in second place, actually were on the 12th hole. They just finished the 12th hole, and they're teeing off on the 13th. So now they're only 2 shots behind. Well, I'll tell you, there was no Tiger Woods behind Sepp Straka. And unfortunately, Brendan Todd and another young gentleman could not close the door. And they ended up remaining 2 shots behind at 19 under. And Sepp Straka wins his second PGA Tour event. He shoots a 62, his lowest round on the PGA Tour. So congratulations to Sepp Straka. He played just absolutely fantastic. 30 years old, his second PGA Tour win, and he's going to the British Open. I think he had enough points to qualify as well, but he is going. And then the ladies, if you're in, you know, I got to tell you, it was great to watch the ladies. They're on the West Coast at the famed Pebble Beach for their U.S. Women's Open. It's a major event. The course is fantastic. It's the very first time the LPGA played at Pebble Beach, which congratulations to Pebble Beach and the LPGA for putting this together. It's been too long that the ladies have not competed at the famed Pebble Beach. American Allison Corpus took over the tourney on the back nine on Sunday, and she held off a charging Charlie Hull from England. Charlie Hull was just absolutely lighting it up, shooting a 6-under-66. Did you happen to see any of that, Al, with Charlie Hull kind of forging
very
away to the
little?
Top?
I Yeah, very little. I caught a couple of holes, and that it was exciting. I just didn't have the time to watch this week.
Well, Allison Corpus held it together while NASA Hataoka, she from Japan kind of withered. Hataoka shot a bogey-free 66 the day before, but she couldn't get it together on Sunday. And Corpus made a great par save, which I think it was on the 12th hole. It was a pivotal par save, about 12 feet downhill, breaking to the right. And I think that is when she settled down. She followed up the par on 12. She birdies 14 and 15, and now she goes up by four shots. She gets the 17th hole, the tough par three. She did bogey that, but at that point, she still had a three-shot lead. And on 18, with the ocean to the left, and if you do follow golf there, the 18th hole is the most picturesque hole probably on tours, on any, you know, professional tour, actually in public anyways. The Pacific Ocean runs along the left-hand side, and you can hit it into the ocean. People have a drive right down the middle with a three-shot lead. She ended up knocking it to like about 12 feet on her approach shot for a birdie. She missed the birdie, but she tapped in to win her very first LPGA Tour event. And more important, it was a major. It was the U.S. Women's Open. So congratulations to Allison Corpus of Hawaii, a major tour winner. It was well-deserved, well-earned. She showed so much poise, held it together. And it was really cool to watch an American win the U.S. Open, the ladies' U.S. Open. So congratulations to Allison Corpus.
Boy, I would love to play that course. That looked beautiful.
Oh my gosh, that's a bucket list. But at $600 a round, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to – I would play it. And it would cost you $2,500 for a two-night stay. And that would get you two rounds of golf, Pebble Beach, Spanish Bay, Monterey Peninsula. Mm. You know, nah.
Yeah, that's a little. I mean, I could play three quarters of a year for that. Where I play.
You ain't kidding. You know, at least
you figure
frustrated every
day.
Yeah,
I could play a whole year. I could play a whole year of golf at the public course that I play at for a whole year, membership for what it would cost to do a weekend at Pebble. So,
yeah.
I need friends with Lear Jets. That's all there is to it. I need to upgrade my friends.
Yes.
Anybody,
you're hanging around with the wrong people now.
If anybody needs a friend, I'm looking for a friend with a boat. I'm looking for a friend with a plane. And a friend who will take me to Pebble Beach. I think I'll be waiting a long time. But I do have some great news.
What's that?
In the soccer world, our old friend Megan Rapinoe, you remember her? She was the traitorous, seditious C-word soccer player who hates America. And she played for the U.S. She was a U.S. soccer legend. You remember her?
Sure do. Yep.
She's retiring at the end of 2023 to the National Women's Soccer League season, so we will not have to see Megan Rapinoe anymore, I hope.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Oh. Wow. She wonder what cause she'll be fraudulent in doing.
They'll probably put her on The View. But I don't watch that anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah. Jeez. That's no loss. You know, part of that woke culture that that the left-wing Marxists are embracing, you know, and they find all kinds of excuses and, you know, victimhood statuses, right? So, it's incredible to watch. And, you know, there's something that you know, you happen to know about. I mean, you follow that. You also have been following Tom Homan, the former acting DHS secretary under President Trump. And what really gets me is how shameless, how absolutely shameless the left wing truly is. There are no boundaries for this movement that's afoot inside the left wing. They are anti-American. They are anti-children. They're anti-constitutional. They're anti-family. They're anti-free enterprise. They're anti-God. And they're pro-child trafficking political party, and that is the Democrat Party. The endorsement of child abuse and child trafficking. And there's nothing to stop the left-wing Marxist frauds from abusing and using children. And why do I say this is because, you know, Joe Biden was installed to scrap everything Trump did, okay? His handlers behind the scenes are the ones that are the largest culprits, the biggest culprits in doing so. So Joe Biden is the front man to scrap everything President Trump did, including President Trump's Operation Talon. Now, what really has me perturbed on this whole thing is, in addition to Biden scrapping this, on CNN, on DNC CNN, there is a movie that Jim Cassaville had made and played in, and Jim Cassaville has been a big proponent in raising awareness for human trafficking and child trafficking. And it's a real thing. It's not something that was contrived by Republicans or the right wing or conservatives. But to show how ignorant the left wing is, to show how ridiculous the left wing is, to show how abusive and obnoxious and ignorant the left wing is, DNC-CNN had a guest on their show, and they were talking about Jim Cassaville's Sounds of Freedom movie. And it's a real life depiction. But, you know, Jim Cassaville has also been a voice against human trafficking, against child trafficking. And the guest on DNC-CNN had the audacity to make the statement that bringing attention to child trafficking is a means of appealing to QAnon. Now, I don't know about you, Al. I don't know where in the hell the left wing has been. And I understand that they have an absolute hatred for Donald Trump. It's understandable. They have used any and every means to degrade this guy, to destroy this man, including making up charges against this guy, including the latest ones he's being charged for by the Washington, D.C. syndicate. The mafia in Washington, D.C. decided that they were going to level 34 charges against President Trump, but never used the term Presidential Records Act. Okay, and so now they're bringing up these phony charges of espionage, which, by the way, should be leveled against the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Joe Biden, who stole classified documents as a U.S. senator, stole classified documents as a vice president. But that's not what I'm talking about at this point. The issue is anything and everything President Trump did to better America, to better individuals, including finding ways to stop human trafficking, is being dismantled by the radical Marxist movement in Washington, D.C., led by Joe Biden and the Biden crime family and his handlers, because Joe Biden is not smart enough nor well enough to do this by himself. Now, I'm sure this is also an order by the New World Order, okay, the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, that evil bastard who runs the World Economic Forum. Biden has made it clear that his number one mission as president, installed president, is to undo everything the Trump administration accomplished over the last 4 years. His newest cancellation simply does not make sense. Biden's administration recently canceled Operation Talon, a Trump administration program aimed at removing convicted sex offenders living in the United States illegally. You know, so all of this noise that we've heard from the left wing as they come up with their meaningless cliches, as they come up with their empty sound bites. Oh, it's for the children. Oh, we believe in children. Oh, we have to protect the children. Oh, it takes a village to raise a child. All this seemingly caring nonsense that's being put forth by the left wing, by the Democrat Party, is nothing but a lie. It's nothing but disinformation and misinformation. If you truly felt that you were trying to care for children, you would, one, stop the abortions, okay, because that's genocide against the black families, which is exactly what Margaret Sanger's goal was. And the second thing is, if you truly believed in protecting the child, you would use every means available, including Operation Talon. See, but it's not about protecting the child, because the Biden regime has made it very clear it's okay to mutilate a child at age 6 and age 7. It's okay to confuse a child about their sexual orientation at 6 or 7 or 8 when they're not mature enough to even make a decision. And now the wicked man Joe Biden and his wicked regime are going to do away, or have done away and canceled, Operation Talon. The program seems to be something everyone should support. It clearly isn't. Why would anyone want sex offenders to remain in the country? Unless, of course, you're the Democrat Party. Unless, of course, you're the pervert, okay, Joe Biden. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson joined a coalition of 18 states' attorney generals, to urge Biden to reverse the cancellation. Well, of course, when you have radical Barack Hussein Totoro Obama administration people who are running your regime, okay, it doesn't matter what Joe Biden says. And Joe Biden probably doesn't even know half of what's going on. It's the anti-American Marxists who are running the regime, like the Jake Sullivans, like the Valerie Jarrett's and Susan Rice's, okay, and John Lurch Carey's. Samantha Power, another one. We're working hard to fight human trafficking and sex crimes in South Carolina and allowing convicted sex offenders who are here illegally to remain in our country makes absolutely no sense, Wilson said. That's Attorney General Alan Wilson. These trafficking and sex crimes are repugnant to human decency generally and to children specifically. You see, this is a man, okay, Attorney General Alan Wilson, who's putting his money where his mouth is. But the radical, anti-American, anti-children, anti-child Biden regime, the letter directed to Joe Biden and the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, another useless individual, another man who should have been impeached, and he should be actually in Gitmo, charged with treason. An acting director of ICE, Kay Johnson, pointed out the problems with this cancellation. The attorney generals argued that canceling Operation Talon could encourage sexual predators to attack. And what do they care? Okay, what does Biden care? What does Mayorkas care? What does Johnson care? What does the Democrat Party care? Because they want chaos. They want this chaos. They want this civil unrest. And that's what Marxists do. The United States population of illegal immigrants includes disturbingly large numbers of criminals with prior convictions for sexual crimes. According to data collected by Syracuse University Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, during the period from October 2014 to May 2018, ICE arrested 19,572 illegal aliens with criminal convictions for what the most serious prior convictions was a conviction for sex-related offenses. Meanwhile, an increasing number of illegal aliens are entering the United States after having previously convicted of sexual offenses. It continues. The cancellation of Operation Talon effectively broadcast to the world that the United States is now a sanctuary jurisdiction for sexual predators. I mean, hell, we have one in the White House, I guess. This message creates a perverse incentive for foreign sexual predators to seek to enter the United States illegally and assault more victims, both in the process of unlawful migration after they arrive. It will also broadcast the message to other criminal aliens who have committed other offenses that any kind of robust enforcement against them is unlikely. The letter begs perhaps the most important question. If the United States will not remove even convicted sex offenders, whom will it remove? And that is a great question. That is a great question. And the letter was signed by the state's attorney generals of Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. Notice that New York and California are not on there, or nor Massachusetts for that matter. If the United States will not remove even convicted sex offenders, whom will it remove? So for the DNC, CNN, for their guests and their host to state that human trafficking, child trafficking, is nothing but an appeal to QAnon is reprehensible. And it is time that we make our voices clear that this type of anti-Americanism is no longer accepted in the United States of America. The actions by Joe Biden and his handlers are anti-American. They are anti-child. So when you hear the Democrat Party or any Democrat talking about, well, it's for the children, and we must have education for the children, it's simply a talking point. It's a meaningless slogan. It's a cliche, once again, that's been adopted by the left wing in order to disarm you, to disarm the American people. It's okay for children to be abused. That's exactly what the Biden-Harris regime are telling the world. First of all, you enter this country illegally. You're unvetted. You're unvaccinated, right? Because vaccinations are so important to Joe Biden. And then you abuse children. You're nothing but a sexual predator. And you're allowed to stay in the United States of America? What kind of value system does that say about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Zero. That means zero. It means zero to the Democrat Party. The left wing in America is nothing but a cancer. They've adopted this Marxist principles of chaos and civil unrest. And they're willing to sacrifice the children in America, just like the United Kingdom did in sacrificing children to the rape gangs, to the Muslim rape gangs in England, and they call them grooming gangs. Well, we must be sensitive, Vito, to the word, so we'll just call them groomers. No, they were rape gangs, and they were raping native girls, native English girls. In 1 year, there were over 5,000 sexual assaults by Muslim cab drivers in England. And yet, we hear from the left wing is that they're for the woman and they're for the child. It's nothing but lies. It's nothing but disinformation and misinformation. And who's the head of that in the United States? Joe Biden, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Yes, the same department that was going to monitor our speech and determine what speech is acceptable and if it met the government standards. That's a fascist. That's anti-American. By the way, it's anti-constitutional. Al, you know a little bit about the issues of human trafficking from Tom Homan. And Tom Homan gives some chilling stories, factual stories, including one where 176 people, including I forgot how many children, were being smuggled into the United States. They were left in a semi-trailer, and most of them perished. They died from suffocation. And the left wing has the audacity to say that this is that the movie Sounds of Freedom is nothing but a way to appeal to QAnon? I mean, that's grossly dishonest.
Beyond dishonest, it's a lie, and it's horrible because they are. It's all about the children. Was the mantra that we heard from the left, but it is for the Democrats. It seems to be it's all about children trafficking because there is such a market for it. The cartels are making so much money because these are all children that are left in the care of the cartels, and they're going to be sold to the highest bidder. And it is happening so much. In fact, watching an old one of the old crime shows on TV, and it was came out in 2009, and they were talking about cartels trafficking and rape trees. And rape trees, I just learned about last year, where the cartels on the border, they'll have their people when they bring their coyotes, bring their people over. They'll take them and the women, they'll rape the women in one of these rape trees, and then they put a garment of clothing up on in the tree so people will know that that is a rape tree area. But maybe it goes into someplace different. And B.L. Hahn with the Federalist brought up a very interesting point, and he says, if you think all teachers are heroes, you are part of the problem. I'm like, well, gosh, well, yeah, I guess teachers have more interaction with young children than, and most times, the parents, wouldn't you say? Well, when we regard teachers as heroes, we shouldn't be surprised when they believe that their duties include having discussions normally reserved for the parents. Because teachers are heroes is way outrageous. It's practically an infallible dictum. And it's unclear why teachers by default deserve this disproportionate praise our society gives them. Yes, teachers are great, but are they actually heroes teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic? And the reason that I say that this story in the Federalist is 100% correct is that now it seems that children are groomed in schools between the books, the sexual books. You've got the teachers who are of questionable sexual identity forcing their views on the children. You have school boards going after parents for speaking up about the books, the sexually explicit books in the libraries. And to top it off, you have the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, as you mentioned before, going after parents at these school board meetings to get these books out of the schools. They're being labeled as domestic terrorists. So maybe a lot of this does stem right from the education, from the teachers, and from the school boards, as well as the cartels are obviously the worst. But the grooming in the schools is a big problem too, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes. I mean, look what they wanted to teach, you know, children with the pronoun issues that they're teaching. You know, I would want my 5- and 6-year-old to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. When it comes to all of the social aspects of it, I think it's incumbent upon the parents to decide what they want to teach their children. And why is it, you know, why have we ceded that control or that mentality to see that control to the children? Well, why? The government control. I mean, the NEA, we all know about the teachers union, are mostly left-wingers. They're predominantly left-wingers. So why wouldn't they support the left-wing social causes such as grooming children? I mean, you know, look how many TikTok videos you see on Twitter with a left winger with green hair or colored hair is bragging, you know, I'm teaching your child about lesbianism and you don't even know it. Well, we do know it now. And you know what? the unintended consequence of the pandemic is that parents became more aware of what their kids are learning. And you know what? If you were a hero and you were proud to teach children, then you wouldn't have to try to teach the child covertly your perversions. And unfortunately, I think you're right, Al. I think you hit the nail on the head. You're talking about grooming. And that's exactly what the left wing does well. And why not the teachers? Because the teachers union, again, seem to gravitate to the left side of the political aisle with their radical views. And I know we have somebody who's got a hand up in the chat room. You want to take it?
Sure. Bring them on.
I think I know who this might be. Is this – good evening. Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show. Is this – Hank?
It is who you think it is, absolutely.
Oh.
So here's this is so perfect, because what you're talking about, you know how we're always told what happens in the privacy of one's home and one's bedroom is the business of the person in that home and in that bedroom. In other words, it's not my business, it's the business of the resident. But isn't it amazing that parents aren't allowed to teach what happens in the home and in the bedroom? They're not allowed to. In other words, I'm not supposed to care what happens in Vito's or Al's bedroom, and in fact, I don't. But by God, my kid shouldn't be taught that by me. My kid should be taught that by someone else who has no business in my home or my bedroom. Do we not get that disconnect, number one? But number two, you know, the other thing about it, we're talking about these head figureheads, Alejandro Mayorkas, et cetera. The problem is we're also not going after the rank and file. I mean, when I always hear you got to cut off the head of the snake. You know what? The mob figured it out a long time ago until RICO and other illegal crap and illegal bugging. We need to remember that a lot of the times the head of the snake is just the figurehead. You know, we need to go after some of the rank and file who are doing the infiltrating, who are doing the behind the scenes crap. And, you know, everybody talked about Trump going after political opponents. That's what's happening now, and that's what we have to fight back at some point. We have to, if we get back the White House or the Congress or the Senate or whatever, we have to make sure that these people never are in this position again. We can't allow it to happen, just like they're trying to do to us. We have to make sure that it doesn't happen again. There's no earthly reason that Susan Rice should be serving in another administration when she was corrupt in the previous administration under which she served. End rant.
Good. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, you hit the nail on the head, Hank. And that is this regime is nothing but a regurgitation of the Obama-Biden regime. And the radicalism yep. that was put forth by Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama when he said that we were going to fundamentally transform America, the election of Donald Trump by we the people, that interrupted the plan of action. And now the Washington, D.C. syndicate, the Washington, D.C. mafia is really beside themselves because Trump hasn't lost his appeal. The appeal for President Trump hasn't been lost. And they've tried everything. The left wing, the Washington, D.C. mafia has tried everything and anything to get rid of this guy. Why? Because I think what you just touched on. Okay, with regards to the rank and file, the bureaucrats' heads are going to roll under this next Trump administration. The Trump administration knows who the players are. And, you know, yep. I think there is real fear that the gravy train is over. And if it comes to an end and President Trump is reelected, okay, their heads will roll. Now, we're going to have the anonymous sources again. We're going to have the sources close to the president. You know, all those fictitious individuals that were reporting on President Trump, that was just the Washington, D.C. mafia looking for ways to discredit President Trump. But this time, this time he's going to have people, I think, close to him who are going to execute his plan of action well because he knows that there is an effort to undermine his entire presidency for 4 years.
Yeah. My one piece of advice to him isn't about policy, isn't about, you know, don't talk about going after this person. My one piece of advice is man, know who you're picking. Don't let a Mike Pence, as an example, although Mike Pence is probably not anywhere near his inner circle, but don't let, as an example, a John McCain call you up and make a suggestion as to who should be the the secretary of this. Don't let a Paul Ryan or whoever. Don't let someone like that. Don't take their calls. Just don't. If you're elected, don't take their damn calls. Just don't. You know. And that's my biggest piece of advice to him. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. That's all a great movie line, but it really boils down to know your inner circle and have it picked out, and don't let anybody else tell you who should be in your inner circle. That's your choice.
Hey, agreed. That's 100% correct, you know.
So we'll get back to guys, and
so
I'll stay on the list.
Hank.
Yeah.
Hank. Who do you like for Trump's running mate?
Believe it or not, I'm not against DeSantis. I love DeSantis, but I want him to stay as governor of my state. I think Carrie Lake is not the person. Liz Cheney, you got to throw her hat. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. I don't know. I really don't. It's a good question. I hate to see somebody get plucked out of Congress who's doing a good job. I can see someone, unless he's really not going to ever return to public life, I can see a J.C. Watts, is off the radar and is really, was a good congressman. I could see someone like that being brought back out of the background. I'd like someone like that. Too bad, Herman Cain is not still alive.
Yeah.
I think he would be an excellent one. Alan Keyes in that regard is someone that, too bad Thomas Sowell's not 20 years younger. He'd be awesome. Those are some of the ones I think, look among some of the candidates now. Tim Scott. I mean, I don't know if he has to surrender his, his senator position in South Carolina to run. But someone like that would be good. I'm not against a Carrie Lake. I just don't think I think two outsiders might be a problem. He's got to have somebody who's got enough experience, who's got, a little bit more insider knowledge that can pull it off, that can carry it off. So that's, that's where I'd look.
Good
How about
point.
You? How about you?
I like
you,
Carrie
Alan?
Lake. Carrie Lake.
Do you? I don't dislike Carrie Lake. I just think, she suffers a couple of the things problematically that Donald Trump suffered from in that, lack of experience. She doesn't have Trump's business experience, as an example. She just doesn't. Now, what she does bring is media experience. And hell if that won't be important, that'll be crucial. So that's not a bad point in that regard. So I see your friend Rasha Mubarak and her uncle popped up on Twitter today.
Yes, they did.
Who's that? Rasha Mubarak.
Rasha Mubarak is she's a friend of mine. She's not a friend of mine at all, but she's a lady. And Al tweeted it about her uncle. Evidently, her uncle resigned as chair of the I Hate Israel and Anything Jewish Committee.
The American Arab Committee. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. That's what they call it. That's not what it is. It's the anti-Semite coalition is really what it should be called. I was shocked. I sent it in the tweet in response to GPR's tweet. I was shocked to see Sheriff Mina's name. I don't know if you guys know Sheriff Mina is. He's a local guy here in Florida, so you guys may not know him, but. He's always been sort of a Democrat, I think, but he's always also been sort of a law and order guy and sort of one of those guys that he's done a good job. He did a good job, for instance, with cops, several cops and kids programs. So to hear that he has been, I don't want to say an ally, but at least speaking at their events shocks me. Buddy Dyer doesn't shock me at all. Buddy Dyer is the classic example of holding his thumb up in the wind to see which way he needs to see whose crank he needs to lick. But
yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, because when you're a law enforcement officer, you have to apply the law equally to everyone, And yeah. that often includes people that may not be very high up on your list, but you still have to treat everybody equally until they give you a reason
yeah.
not to in a legal fashion. Because I used to hold that against them, too. Like, these people are bad news. Why are you even giving them the time of day? But that's part of the job as well. So I've kind of...
Yeah, it is.
No.
It is. Well, okay. the other shocker, though, I don't know if you guys have ever heard Rasha Mubarak speak. She spoke at a church I used to attend. And she gave this BS about what we do is we make sure that the schools aren't discriminating against our Muslim children. And it's like, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. What you want to make sure is that Israel is never taught in a positive light in school. Don't lie, because your Muslim kids aren't discriminated against in our schools. Bullshit. They're treated with kid gloves and have been for years. Don't lie, you know, and that's what I hate, the disingenuous lies of, you know, we're fighting persecution daily. The fuck? I mean, the hell you are. The hell you are. You know, that's what I hate. Is when they pretend, you know, the victimhood. I mean, it's like you guys are talking about, the victimhood. It's like, oh, you know, after 9/11, we were such victims. No, you weren't. Terrorists were who we approached. Terrorists were who we realized we needed to fight. We didn't need to fight Muslims. We never said we needed to fight Muslims, you know. But the just the lies of, oh, no, we've been victims ever since. No, you haven't. You have not. I mean, it's just, that's where I have to draw a line. Look, I don't hate Muslims. Why would I? I don't know that many. I don't know enough to hate. But what I hate is blind hatred for Israel, blind hatred for America, and blind hatred for anybody non-Muslim. And that's what they, you know, when they think they can get away with it, that's what they spew. They don't spew love and unity. Bullshit. Well,
amen.
I just ranted again, didn't I? I ranted. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, that Rasha Mubarak you're talking about, Rashida Tlaib, who we talk about frequently on this show, this was
yeah.
one of the women who was important within Rashida Tlaib's circle of power. So,
yeah, and Rashida Tlaib is from where exactly? Why is she have somebody from Florida who's supposedly just fighting against discrimination in our schools. Why is that person in Rashida Tlaib's consulting circle? You know, that's, again, that there's that disconnect again. How it's the same with, like, when AOC says she was brought up poor and all this stuff. It's like, wait a second. No, you weren't. You know, what is so important outside in Michigan for a congressman from Michigan that you can take time off from fighting discrimination against Muslims at our schools in Florida? You know, that's, you know, but again, you know what, until we actually fight back, until we actually confront it, it's going to keep happening.
Well, you know, Hank, the Hamas Care, the Council on American Islamic Relations, one of the co-founders, Omar Ahmad. And Omar Ahmad
yeah.
actually said it best, and this is where the American people must understand the goal and the cause. Omar Ahmad said, Islam is not America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. So why would Rashida Tlaib and, for that matter, incestuous Ilhan Omar, why wouldn't they go to Florida and get on the coattails of this Rashida Tlaib? I mean, why wouldn't they? Because if the
yeah,
issue is domination, that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what these anti-Semites want. They despise Israel, and it's about creating a victimhood narrative. And of course, when
yep.
the objective is Islam's not in America to be equal, but to become dominant, then you must portray Islam as a victim in
yeah.
America.
Yeah. You know, a 9/11 survivor, a brother of a guy I knew growing up, who was a friend of mine, was killed in 9/11. He was with Cantor Fitzgerald. His brother, who can't put down his liberalism long enough to be totally rational, but he did say, he said, look, I'm not anti-Muslim. I am anti-Islam. And as he said, moderate Muslims don't think you're safe. You know, after they get the Jews and after they get the Christians, you're next. You know, there's no room for the moderate Muslim in Islam, because there's no such thing as moderate Islam, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So that's, you know, that's a pretty salient point to the whole thing, is that, like, when they say, oh, they're nice Muslims. Yeah, there are nice Muslims. Of course there are. But it doesn't mean that Islam and the power within it isn't full on for our destruction. You know, it's that simple.
Well, you know, when you have this other document called the Explanatory Memorandum that was written by the Muslim Brotherhood, and it was uncovered in a sub-basement in Allendale, Virginia by the FBI in 1994, I think we should understand exactly what the mission statement is. I've already, you know, already repeated what the mission statement was from the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, but here is the Muslim Brotherhood's plan of action that was written in 1994, and it was uncovered in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia. The Ikhwan is brotherhood. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. So first of all, God's religion is Islam. Secondly,
yep,
you have the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups who see America as a miserable house. Now,
yep,
I don't know what it's going to take for America, for Americans, to understand that it's not about hating Muslims. It's about understanding,
sure,
the mission statement. And the mission,
yep,
statement's quite clear. It's never to assimilate, and it's never to integrate. And,
yep,
if you're a fundamentalist, you're a devout fundamental Muslim, you will adhere to the Muslim Brotherhood's mission statement. And you know what? Take a look at Sweden. Look how Malmo, Sweden, how the capital of Sweden, Stockholm, is being lost to Islam. What about France? Look what's going on in France. You could talk all you want. Now we have a real situation unfolding in France.
Yeah.
You want to talk about something that's really starting to take fold and excuses are being made? Law enforcement officers are being attacked on a daily basis by Muslim migrants, whether they're illegal,
yeah,
or legal. So let's thank the EU again for this diversity crap that they're trying to put forth worldwide.
What did Michael Savage call it 20 years ago? Eurabia.
Eurabia.
You know? Yeah, Eurabia. It's no longer Europe. It's Eurabia. And, you know, my wife and her father traveled to several European countries several years ago and talked about, I forgot which it was, Dusseldorf or someplace like that. And they said, that one's a bit sketchy. In other words, all they saw were Muslims walking around. And, you know, when it's that kind, and I hate to say overrun, and it sounds like I'm talking about an infestation of rats or fleas, but the point being, when that presence is, you know, it's sort of like, you know, if you lived in, let's say, I'm trying to think of a famous suburb, you know, a ritzy suburb, say Kenilworth in Chicago. If you were in Kenilworth in Chicago, and you suddenly saw all these tweakers, meth head tweakers, you know, hanging around your town, you'd get them the hell out. And those are,
mm-hmm,
Americans, but you'd get them the hell out. But for some reason, they're afraid when they see an overabundance of anything else. It's like, oh, no, we can't do that. That will be perceived as, well, of course you'll be perceived as. You'll be perceived as standing up for your own friggin' rights and your own property. Jesus, when did that become a crime?
That's a really good question. When did that become a crime?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at France, when they've reached 10% of their population, France's population has become a super minority. And as on the demographic schedule, like clockwork, the Muslims have reached anywhere from 8 to 10% of the demographic of France, of the population. So now they were peaceful before, and now they are becoming more violent. And this is all part of the conquest by way of Hijra. The Muslims call this the Hijra that Muhammad did when he went from Medina, and it was such an important part of Islam that the Islamic calendar began day one during the Hijra when Muhammad left Mecca to go to Medina, and that's exactly what's happening in Europe now. And the only way they're going to stop it is by a civil war. Luckily, in America, we're at around 1%, 1.5%, but it's getting higher, and we're seeing the violence increase, like in Minneapolis, where the Somali population is probably closer to 10 to 15. We're seeing the violence there. And this is – Islam is just a totalitarian regime. It's a totalitarian form of government, and they will impose their tyranny on any and all groups who are not followers of Islam. And if you doubt me on it, then good luck finding proof in any of the Islamic texts, whether it be the Quran, the Hadith, or the Sunnah. You will not be able to do it.
It's like I didn't under, when I think I told this story, flying to my daughter's wedding a few years ago in Seattle. We're in Denver. We're delayed, and there's this guy spouting off, showing us what a cool guy he is. He's talking about my Uber driver. First of all, dude, you have a personal Uber driver. What a moron. He's acting like he's got a limo or something. But he goes, I was talking to my Uber driver about some of the problems. And, we both said, it could be worse. We could be living in Afghanistan. He's one of those not even a smart social justice warrior. He's just an idiot. But, I said to my wife, I said, who the fuck does he think is going to be driving his Uber 3 months from now? It's going to be that poor bastard in Afghanistan, because we bring him over here with open arms and treat him like it's his country, not ours. It could be any country. It could be MS-13. We bring those people up, and we treat them like this is their country. It's just – and it's not us. It's some of the powers that be. It's the left, the progressives, the liberals, whatever you want to call them. But, to them it's like – and I get it. The more you water down the greater population, the better chance they have of seizing ultimate power. But why are we sitting around and letting it happen? That's anybody's guess. I mean, Joe Gibson said it best, really, in a sense, the other day, a couple weeks ago on Twitter. He said, as radio hosts, we all got to stick together. We're fighting for a common cause. We need to band together and get a louder voice of this common cause. That's a huge part of it. I've even said I'm no longer going to give credence to Brother Warren or his shows. I used to try to be nice. He was always cordial. But, he comes up with these shows about white systemic racism number one, 101, and then in parentheses, a lesson for Christian conservatives, white Christian conservatives. What the hell? Why am I giving this guy credence when he's doing shit like that? I mean, he's the one that's obsessed. I'm not obsessed with race. He is, though. Because he doesn't stop talking about it, as long as I keep giving him a voice and saying, check him out sometime, I'm not going to do that anymore. He's not worth listening to. He's obsessed with racism. I'm not going to tell people, you should listen to CNN for an alternate view. Why? It's a skewed, twisted, sick alternate view. It's not a view at all. It's a power grab. It's a sickness. Again, end rant. I'm ranting again. So
No. You know what? And really, this is what prompted the story concerning Biden and ending the Operation Talon. When the CNN, looks for shock value, and they bring some moron on to say that the only reason why Jim Cassaville and child and human trafficking is on the radar is because it's a conspiracy theory to appeal to QAnon. And that's a reprehensible statement. That is so false. I mean, even as long as 5 years ago, we were reporting, even 8 years ago, we were reporting that the migrants coming in, that Mexican drug cartel had brothels in New York City, where they traffic young girls to these brothels, enslave them. And as Al pointed out earlier, if you don't have the money to get into the United States and you pay these the cartels and you can't get in the first time or the second time, if they're paying $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, then they sequester you. They illegally transport you to New York City and to Chicago and to other large cities, and they enslave you, to work as a whore in these brothels. Now, I don't know.
It's reprehensible, But all this guy says is a conspiracy theory.
Well, I don't know what part of that CNN has a problem with. I don't know what part the DNC of any DNC TV network has a problem.
Yeah,
with
DNCNN, MSDNC, all of them.
It's disgusting. It's disgraceful.
Yeah. Speaking
of which,
I hate to go off this slight slant here. Do you think Dr. Jill has porked Mr. Kamala? Sorry. But, you know, I still hearken back to that kiss, and it's just so gross. And that whole thing, there's something off about, the whole thing. It's a circus show up there. It's just, it's just off. And, Dopey Joe, walking with King Chuckles, by the way, Dopey Joe obviously looks out of it, but King Chuckles ain't looking so chipper either. But, there's just something off. There is something way off about the whole thing. And it's just, I don't know how we stop it other than to fight back, when I say fight back, it may eventually come to actually arming ourselves to fight against, a seizure, an attempted seizure of our rights, of our full liberties.
Well, the issue we have right now is the American people are awakening, and we're awakening to the fact that there was serious improprieties that were done in the 2020 election. There's no way, shape, or form that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. When you start
Correct.
To break down the effect of Biden's votes, he gets more votes with winning less counties than Barack Hussein, Tator, or Obama. The actions that have been conducted by this man since, 902 days ago, and his handlers, and then to not recognize the issues that Americans are having, and to paint the picture that as if everything is rosy, just goes to show how dishonest this regime is. To profess that you are for children's causes, and then end Operation Talon,
yeah.
to help protect our children against sexual predators illegally in the United States, and somehow you escape any type of scrutiny, it goes to show that there is definitely something deeply wrong with what was done, and it was done intentionally in 2020 to get rid of Donald Trump. It was
Look at how they handle press releases. As an example, when they announce that, you say, when they always do those announcements, Biden opens oil leasing in such and such a place. You notice that they don't say that they allow drilling permits. But number one, but even where they report it, they don't report it. They report it to like chamber letters, to try and drum it up that way. They would never put that in the Sierra Club newsletter because they know exactly what would happen. The Sierra Club would march on Washington the second they announced that. That's just those kinds of things. That disingenuous behavior is just. It's mind-boggling that it happens, and again, we're going to have to stand up at a certain point. So,
well, Hank, your show is on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
It is on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
What's your discussion of the topic this week?
Well, the big one this week, Bob Huggins resigned as coach at West Virginia after a DUI arrest.
Ooh.
He's now walking it back. He's demanding his reinstatement. He's telling. His lawyer's written a letter and saying he never actually resigned. It was his wife telling people that he would probably resign. And the university's got some good points, like why did he have a meeting with his players telling him he wasn't going to be their coach? Why have there been players that have entered the transfer portal whose express reason is because Coach Huggins is no longer the coach? So this could get good. First of all, the guy's first DUI in Cincinnati back in 2004, and this is good. I'm not advocating drunk driving here, but, when they arrested him, the smell of vomit and vomit-streaked car was one clue that the officers thought maybe this guy's driving drunk. That's awesome. He's, puking in the car and still driving. You got to give a guy a little bit of credit there, That's just... There's something there, but yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I think in the end, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. It's probably just a way to extort more money. because you remember he had a couple weeks before this recent arrest, he went on his Cincinnati radio station and supposedly used an anti-gay slur, and they made his contract year to year and reduced his base salary by $1 million. Well, you know, that's going to be problematic in a court of law at some point because, you know, there's nothing, there's no law. Now, they might say, well, it's in his contract, but if his contract limits his First Amendment rights, that's not a valid contract to begin with. So they can't really, you know, I mean, that's going to be interesting. So that's going to be a big topic. I'll probably talk about a little bit about some Dopey Joe stuff just because I think it's becoming more apparent that he's mentally incompetent. I don't think they can even, you know, prop him up for hours at a time anymore. You know, that kind of thing, you know, so we'll talk a little about that. And college football's coming closer. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
All right, great. And that's 6 p.m. Eastern time cool. On Wednesday evening.
Wednesday evening, absolutely.
Great. Well, Hank, thanks
so
a lot
you guys
for the
get,
call, man.
You guys get back. Yeah, get back to it, man. Great show, as always. And I just had, you
Thank
know,
you.
Listening tonight, I had to chime in. So.
Oh, thanks for calling. Always appreciate it, Hank.
Great call, Hank.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. That's Hank Jones, Poly Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday evenings, right here on Global Patriot Radio. I want to read a tweet that one of my followers sent out at Tsunami. She said, your discussion on immigration was spot on. I believe Al mentioned he just found out about rape trees last year. He isn't alone. I remember Mayorkas claiming he had never heard the term last year when Ted Cruz questioned him, our Secretary of Homeland Security, outrageous. And isn't it something, Al, that how much this regime, members of this regime, including the treasonous Mayorkas, find things out in the media, you know? Tom Homan knew about this. Tom Homan was acting secretary of DHS. How is it that Mayorkas doesn't consult with former DHS secretaries to know what's going on in his own backyard? Either Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, is the most ignorant individual ever to occupy as Secretary of Homeland Security, or he's the dumbest. And I'm going with the dumbest just from the standpoint that he enjoys playing dumb. But he has no problem with finding ways to charge families, you know, parents as terrorists if they question, you know, the Department of Education or your local education department. He has no problem in starting a speech, or was it a free speech ministry, right? A minister of free speech, okay, to determine what speech is disinformation and misinformation. And of course, if you challenge that, then you who are challenging the government and establishing a ministry of truth, okay, then you're the terrorist. You're the right-wing conspirator. Oh, but excuse me, Alejandro Mayorkas, you're the anti-constitutionalist. Because under the Bill of Rights, under the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. You, as the government, do not have the authority to abridge freedom of speech. Just because you have determined that you don't like what opposition speech is about. Well, maybe you need to read the Federalist Papers, Alejandro Mayorkas. Now, you can go online and you can pull up all the Federalist Papers. And since you're a little bit ignorant of history and since you don't understand what's going on in the world today, back in 1787, thereabouts to 1800, okay, we had our founders, okay, write these papers called the Federalist Papers. And you can learn a lot from our founders of what it means to be an American, what it means about freedoms and liberties. And by the way, they address the Bill of Rights, the top 10 Bill of Rights. And you don't have the right to control speech in the United States of America. Whether you're part of the Department of Homeland Security, whether you're the President of the United States, or you're a member of Congress. So they have the perfect chimpanzee as Department of Homeland Security just go deaf, dumb, and blind and then say, well, you know, I didn't hear about that until on the news. Really? Really? You heard about it on the news? Wow. That's encouraging. I find this entire regime reprehensible, and they're selling out the United States of America. And you know, Al, I just the message from the Muslim Brotherhood, okay, with the explanatory memorandum, it so applies to the left wing in America. And you know what? It so applies to the Uniparty. Their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And that's what's happening today in our government. It's that they're destroying it from within. And there's no pushback from the media any longer in the United States. Now, we've held the media in such high esteem. And, you know, all the media whores out there, they all want to be a Woodward and Bernstein until it pertains to Joe Biden, or until it pertains to Hillary Rotten Clinton, or until it pertains to Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama. They would rather cover up for these radicals, for these anti-Americans, these anti-constitutionalists, than to sit there and hold the rule of law to all who serve in the U.S. government. It's confounding. And you know what? It's pissing the American people off.
That and a lot of other things.
Yes, a lot of other things, including you've got Joe Biden going to NATO for a conference. That's, I don't know what genius decided to send Biden to NATO. Okay. So now it turns out, if you were reading that, and there's an article, I think it was on Thursday in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, it turns out that our NATO allies aren't paying their fair share. Once again, that fair share was 2% of a GDP. So it's turning out that our NATO allies now, that the weak Joe Biden has been installed in the White House, those allies now feel compelled not to pay their fair share, the 2% of GDP, that President Trump was holding countries' feet to the fire. Like France is only paying 1%, Italy paying 0.75%, Germany was paying 1.25%. And when, after Putin invaded Ukraine, the German chancellor said, well, I think it's those, we have to pay our fair share, not 2%. Oh, really? And so, you know, President Trump was portrayed as a bad guy for holding our allies, our NATO allies, accountable to pay their fair share, because the United States was paying 4% of the lion's share, or 5% of our GDP. So at what point is fairness? And then, of course, you've got John Kerry. And John Kerry, the climate con man, not sorry, the climate con czar, excuse me, is joining Biden on this trip to Lithuania to NATO allies to talk about climate crisis. It's no longer climate change. Now, these left-wing radicals like John Kerry have now ramped up their talk to now call it a climate crisis. John Kerry laments the war in Ukraine is exacerbating the problem on climate change. When you have bombs going off and you have damage to septic tanks or to power centers, etc., you have enormous release of greenhouse gases. Now, isn't it funny and ironic that John Kerry makes this statement about when you have bombs going off, you have damage to septic tanks or to power centers, you have enormous release of greenhouse gas. John Kerry, the climate con man, is joining Joe Biden in NATO to talk about how to fund Ukraine to continue the war in Ukraine. So do you all see the hypocrisy from this entire motive that this regime? On one hand, we are going to fund Ukraine to fight Russia. On the other hand, we're going to dip into the American taxpayer coffers, to the American taxpayer wallets, until this regime, these radicals in Washington, D.C., bleed Americans dry to fight this supposed climate change. Because when you have bombs going off and you have damages to septic tanks and power centers, you have an enormous release of greenhouse gas. And the very same individuals are demanding even more money to be sent to Ukraine. So you want to talk about Americans being hosed on many levels? And I think we should ask the question of our elected officials. Why haven't they cut the financial purse strings of the executive branch of government? We now have two competing entities out of the White House, the President of the United States and the climate con man czar, John Kerry, wanting more and more money. And we're going to give money to Ukraine to contribute to the climate crisis that con man John Kerry is selling. Do you find that a little bit hypocritical? It's almost as hypocritical as shutting off America's ability to be energy independent and buy gas from Russia to feed Russia to fight the war in Ukraine, and then give $40 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion to Ukraine to fight Russia. Are we missing something in all this? And the media, the sycophants in the media, all sit idly by because it's a left winger. It's one of their own who is making these ridiculous requests, making these obscene requests. And no one seems to be tying and connecting the dots. Buy from Russia. It helps fund the war against Ukraine. And then on the other side, go out the East Wing and then give money to Ukraine to fight Russia with the same tax dollars that we're funding to fund Russia. And then go out the back door where the cocaine is, okay, and then fight the climate change under the climate con man, John Kerry. I think what we have now with the abuse of power in Washington, D.C., they have an endless spigot of money. At least that's what they see. And it's just continue to hose the American taxpayer. Did I miss something in that, Al?
No, you got all sides of that story. And it seems like we're the spigot of U.S. taxpayers just keep getting hosed. In fact, Raytheon is having to call back their retired engineers so they can fulfill Stinger missile orders for Ukraine, and the United States is supplying Ukraine with cluster bombs, where every liberal weenie has been saying how bad cluster bombs are and they should be outlawed, and here we are selling them to Ukraine. And then you've got Biden going, like you said, to NATO with a 30-vehicle caravan. And then you've got Ukraine wanting to gain entry into NATO, which would essentially bring in World War III. These are very dangerous times.
Well, they are. And what's said about this, Al, is while we're talking about cluster bombs, didn't John Kerry, the climate con man czar, didn't he just contradict the entire NATO, including Joe Biden, when he said when you have bombs going off and you have damage to septic tanks or to power plants, you have an enormous release of greenhouse gas. So is there a climate crisis? Is there climate change? Or is it just a funding vehicle? The use of the term climate change is for a funding vehicle for the elites like climate con man John Kerry and the World Economic Forum, because let's not forget about the World Economic Forum, okay? You know, every day I read this quote, and every day it becomes abundantly clear that you know, people say, and my relatives and friends say, you know, I don't understand, you know, how why Biden was. Well, this is Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum's comment. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Now, if you don't think 902 days ago was a resetting of our world, then you're not paying attention. And the World Economic Forum decided that they were going to be the relevant New World Order in resetting our world. And you know what? We already have the infrastructure in place. The infrastructure is already in place with the Muslim Brotherhood's mission statement in the United States and for the Western civilization. The Democrat Party certainly glommed onto that. The left wing did. The Uniparty glommed onto that. And then suddenly you had the relevance of the New World Order's World Economic Forum. And I think that the statement by Klaus Schwab, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, is chilling.
Yep, and John Kerry is doubling down on that with this supposed climate change when they don't even know that the world – he's saying that the temperatures are so hot right now in the middle of summer – this is the hottest to ever be on record for planet Earth, and the records only go back to 1880, first off, and then there were two other ages of the world heating, and then, get this, no mention of the sun. Did you know that a solar storm is expected to make the aurora borealis, commonly known as the Northern Lights, visible in as many as 17 states across the U.S. beginning from the mid to late this week? Because we're on Monday now, so expect to look up in the sky, go to a dark place in one of these 17 northern states, and you're likely to see the aurora borealis. That means that sunspot activity is going to be greater than usual. And when sunspot activity is greater than usual, it impacts the planet, and it impacts the heating and the cooling of our planet because everything relies on the sun. The sun is the one common denominator that Lurch Carey can't even mention. It's kind of like taking the tomatoes out of Heinz ketchup. What do you have left? Corn syrup.
And by the way, find a different ketchup. Okay.
Yeah, I don't buy Heinz ketchup because it's loaded with corn syrup. I buy Hunt's natural ketchup with no corn syrup. So screw you, John Kerry. That little pimp managed to marry the wife, the heiress, to the Heinz family, the Heinz wife, as soon as the husband died. He jumped all over that gravy train. So...
yes, he did.
That's one thing he does good. He does marry extremely wealthy women after behaving like a douchebag in Vietnam. And he's like a man whore.
that he is. You know, the climate con man, John Kerry. And yeah. You know, he's well aligned with the World Economic Forum. And you brought up two good points. The federal government can't control homelessness. They can't control illegal alien activity pouring through our borders. And somehow, this government under the climate con man czar, John Kerry, is going to control sunspots and solar flares. two items which affect climate in all planets, including planet Earth.
Yep. Well, I think it comes back to this New World Order that you're talking about. The New World Order can mean many different things to many different people, but the one common denominator, as I understand it, with the New World Order, is that in order for any change to happen on that type of a scale, on a governmental scale, the current system must be destroyed. And once the current system is destroyed or weakened to such a such a degree that it can no longer function and it's overwhelmed, then it will set the stage for a new system to be brought in, whatever that may be. And I believe they're going to try and bring in a Marxist utopia, which has never, ever succeeded anywhere in world history, going all the way back to cave people. And that is the goal. But first they have to destroy everything, and this is how they're doing it. So give me free enterprise and free capitalism any day of the week, because that will allow you and me and everybody to succeed or fail based on our own merit and the amount of risk that we're willing to take in order to gain benefits for those risks. And once that's taken away from you, you're going to be under tyranny of the few, like it is in communist China, where the communist Chinese tell each of their people when they are young and taking tests in elementary and high school, and that determines their life for the rest of their life. Because if you don't score well on a test in high school, on a national test, they go to you and say, you're going to work at the car plant for the rest of your life. You're going to be a miner. You're going to be a garbage person. You're going to be a data entry clerk. And you have to do it. And that's tyranny from the top down. At least in America, we can get any job that we are capable of getting by any means legally within our scope of creativeness. And that's how it should be. That's why I work hard. That's why you work hard. That's why the owner of Tesla, Elon Musk, works hard. Gosh, look what he's done to space travel, Vito. There used to be NASA that they could get maybe one or two rockets off a year, if they were lucky, costing billions. And every week or every other week, I'm seeing Elon Musk sending up another rocket.
Yep, true that. That's right. Sometimes two in one day.
Yeah, I mean, Elon, if you look at, just look at Elon Musk's space travel business, which it is, because his job is putting payloads in the rockets, sending them up into space, and then that's how he makes his money, whether it be people or goods or service, whatever it is. He has reshaped space exploration is coming, but space business. He's made it extremely cheap to put payloads up into the atmosphere for whatever you need to have satellites up there for. Now it is cheaper and easier to afford. So he has, what do they want to do? He's had he reinvented that whole business.
Yes, he did. He did, whether you like him or not, he certainly did. And, you know, Look at Boeing is still trying, is struggling to get their craft launched, and they've spent billions, tens of billions of dollars in doing so. And in the process, in the meantime, while Boeing is struggling, you know, SpaceX has launched, you know, I would say 90 to 100 more vehicles, you know, and done it successfully. They've had a couple of failures, but in the meantime, he's had tremendous success, and Boeing is still grounded. So, you know, you work with the federal government. I'm sure the federal government has a lot to do with that as well. I mean, NASA, as you said, couldn't do it at the cost that free enterprise has done it. And Elon Musk has proven it.
Yeah, he's reimagined space travel.
Mm-hmm.
To steal a term from Obama, he reimagined it, made it better by private enterprise.
Yes, we have. Yes, he has, and that's free enterprise. That is how it works, and this is something that is troubling with regards to the World Economic Forum and their great reset of our world. And in resetting the world, you outlined it beautifully. You articulated it well about what the idea is, and that is taking over government and controlling, and doing away with this form of government. And I will never forget the comment by Charles Krauthammer back in 2009, Barack Obama will systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. Now, certainly one man can't do it. You have to have a network to assist in that. And just look at who's aided and abetted that, you know, from Nancy Pelosi to Steny Hoyer to Chuck Schumer to Mitch McConnell to, you know what, also to who's the senator from Lindsey Graham. You've got Akeem Jeffries. You've got all these members of the Washington, D.C. syndicate who have an ulterior motive to what our nation's founding has been. And it's a reason why these individuals do not talk about America being a republic. They call it a democracy. Yet Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution is written by our founders. It states the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Now, it's an intentional misinformation by the left wing in America today to continually call our country a democracy. One, they don't want to call it republican form of government because they would then give positive connotations to the Republican Party. Not that the Republican Party deserves it, but it's not the same as what our founders' intention was. But we have a government, a Congress, that can't even follow Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And now you have these individuals who are in bed also with the New World Orders type organizations such as the World Economic Forum, the United Nations. You know, all are trying to lead the way to this one world type government and pushing America further and further to the back seat, including elevating communist China as the new world leader. Communist China ditching the dollar in trading with Brazil, working to ditch the dollar in trading with all five BRIC nations. I just heard today that Argentina now has agreed with China, has come to an agreement to trade not in the U.S. dollar, but in the yuan and the Argentine currency. France, who is a great member of the New World Order, of course, that's also part of the EU, they've also come to an agreement in terms with communist China to trade in the Chinese yuan and the euro and ditch the dollar. Russia, the same thing, ditch the dollar. Iran. I mean, so when Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum said the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world, and there's no outrage by how communist China is sweeping itself around the world and becoming the world leader, and I think much to the delight of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, and they're supplanting the United States in trade, in world defense. You know, you've got, on one hand, you've got, you know, Biden going to NATO, and they're going to talk about funding, you know, the Ukrainian government, the corrupt Ukrainian government. And on the other side, you know, outside of that hall, you've got, you know, the climate con man John Kerry talking about the effects of climate change and bombs going off and causing greenhouse gases. And on the other hand, you've got communist China now establishing a base in Cuba. And there's no outrage by the United Nations, by United Nations human rights. There's no outrage. And then you read an article by Gordon Chang in Gatestone Institute, how the communist Chinese are invading America's homeland, and they're coming in, they're pouring in through our southern border. The jungle is filled with Chinese marching to America, said war correspondent Michael Yan to Gatestone. Chinese migrants are entering the United States on foot at the southern border. Almost all are desperate, seeking a better life for themselves and their children. Some, however, are coming to commit acts of sabotage. Wow, imagine that, sabotaging your miserable house from within. China is in a state of distress. Gloom pervades Chinese society. Chinese, by the hundreds, are now patiently waiting for visas in sweltering heat in lines at U.S. consulates in Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. Many, however, are short-circuiting the long waits at the consulate at the southern border. Communist Chinese migrants are entering the United States in unprecedented numbers. U.S. Customs and Border Protection reports that the number of apprehensions of Chinese migrants in the first 5 months of the current fiscal year was more than double that during all of last fiscal year. The 8,000 communist Chinese migrants apprehended this calendar year are more than quadruple the number apprehended in the comparable period a year ago. Quadruple. And the fiscal year is not done. Communist Chinese nationals are flying to Ecuador, which permits them to enter visa-free. They then make their way to the southern edge of the Darien Gap, about 66 miles of jungle separating Colombia and Panama. The migrants cross the natural barrier on foot and, once safely on the north side, continue the journey to America, often by bus. Some communist Chinese migrants are poor. Many, however, are middle class. They can afford to pay $35,000 each to Mexican cartels to be smuggled into America. $35,000. And I marvel at that figure because I don't know how many people in the United States, how many middle class Americans have $35,000 saved. It's like an animal stampede before an earthquake, said Sam, a communist Chinese migrant who crossed into America first in February in Brownsville, Texas, to Axios. Some migrants are almost certainly members of China's People's Liberation Army, PLA. Representative Mark Green of Tennessee, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. You know, maybe before I go on any further, you know, I think it's important that Mark Green probably call up Alejandro Mayorkas and let him know that some of the migrants are certainly members of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, so that Mayorkas doesn't hear it, you know, in the news for the first time, because obviously Mayorkas is too dumb to understand what's going on at our nation's border, although everything is great, according to Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden. The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee said at a press conference on the 14th of this month that a Border Patrol sector chief informed him that some of the Chinese migrants at the southern border have known ties to the China People Liberation Army. So we've had a Chinese spy balloon go across how many states in the United States, bypass no less than 7 military U.S. military installations. We now have communist China. We know that they are now building a spy system in Cuba, just 75 miles off the coast of Florida. We know that communist China now has forged an alliance with 5 Persian Gulf nations, and they pushed the United States of America aside, including Saudi Arabia, including United Arab Emirates, including the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. We know that communist China has also forged an alliance with Brazil and now Argentina, two of South America's largest countries. And of course, communist China has ties to New Zealand and Australia. Plus, communist China has built naval, would you say, installations on the east and the west coast of Africa. The United Nations remains quiet and silent. The only person that's really writing about this in the United States appears in Gatestone Institute. The DNC media just continues to remain silent. And they're okay with the United States just kind of taking a back seat and being distracted. being distracted by what? What'd you say? Transgenderism, being distracted by the chaos that's erupted in the United States, being distracted by a shuffling, ranting old man. The continued distractions. And in the meantime, the communist Chinese have one focus, and that's domination. We have no idea who these people are. It's very likely using Russia's template of sending military personnel into Ukraine, China is doing the same into the United States, Green says. That's Representative Mark Green. These military-linked migrants, despite their affiliations, have been released into America. Oh, hence what? The Chinese police stations in five major cities, including New York City. Normally, in groups of 5 to 15, they typically emerge from the Darien Gap and spend one night in the U.S.-funded San Vicente camp or next door in the Tonosi Hotel before boarding luxury buses for the trip up Highway 1 toward Costa Rica, Yon reports. One group of six young men bought a chicken at the Tonosi Hotel, drank its blood from the small glass, and then cooked the chicken themselves in the hotel restaurant, according to hotel manager. Drinking raw chicken blood is a rite among some PLA soldiers. Now, Al, I don't know what warning signs or what other signal the officials in the United States need to know who the enemy is. But the fact that the President of the United States and his regime are negligent, are intentionally, grossly negligent in protecting and defending the United States of America, as written in Article 4, Section 4, should be charges of treason. But yet, there's only one or two individuals in the U.S. House who are willing to do so, which makes the entire set of those in Congress unfit to serve in Congress, because the rule of law doesn't apply if you're a member of the left wing. If you're a member of the Washington, D.C. syndicate, it seems like that the rule of law only applies to outsiders. It doesn't apply to plagiarizing lifelong career politicians, nor any of his underlings who have been appointed, like an Alejandro Mayorkas or a John Lurch Kerry.
Well, I mean, you're right, because Biden has violated his constitutional oath to protect our borders. So, yes, there should be articles of impeachment at a minimum filed and have a public discussion about it, because Lord knows that President Trump had his articles of impeachment were for much, much less than that. And treason, yes, absolutely, by opening up the borders, sending down law enforcement officers not to stop the flow of illegal aliens, but to process them. And then the illegal activity between what we started the show with, talking about human trafficking and child trafficking. That's the result. The cartels are making so much money on the human trafficking, the drug money and the drugs that they send over the border are secondary now to the money they're making on human trafficking, which is another fancy word for slavery. And we don't hear any of the NAACP or any of the Jesse Jacksons of the world or Al Sharpton or Ben Crump, the lawyer race whore. None of them have said a word one about the slavery that's going on with human slavery, a.k.a. slaves. That's what they are. These people have no rights at all. They've been bought and sold like slaves, and they're quiet. Where are these people?
Exactly.
They're talking about reparations, and there's active slavery going on not only on our southern border. And they're not even talking about that. They should call
Great
a demand
point.
An end to that. But they can't do it because it's their Democrat policies, their leadership policies that are making this happen for some greater good, some utopian greater good that's never going to happen. So they are all sellouts, and they don't give a rat's ass about people in general. They don't give a rat's ass about slavery. It's just a matter to shake down for their own personal wealth, which in a way, I guess, is like government. They're government entrepreneurs. They get into government to rape government and to steal everything that that's not locked down. Every tax dollar that's floating around, if they can get their paws on it, they will. If they can get grant money for grant anything, they will take it. And they don't care about the country. They've forgotten about the Constitution. And the GOP, in my opinion, is complicit by inactivity. If I've heard Jim Jordan yell and speak and say all the right things at meetings after meeting after meeting after meeting, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene, she ends up being a swamp monster.
I guess the power corrupts, eh?
I don't know what it is. I mean, power. Okay, so you get power, but you get power to do what? What are these people getting in return for doing nothing? Are they assuring themselves they're going to get reelected again to a job where they supposedly make $125,000 a year?
175.
And they'll literally spend millions to get a congressional seat. So they're spending millions to get a job that pays $175,000. Well, they're going to get their money back somehow, some way. And you know that they're going to the system is fried.
Well,
how to fix it? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, first of all, the lack of honesty, you know, in the media being so slanted, and we've come to rely upon the media as being a source of investigating the legislative branch and the executive branch. But when the bias of the media is so apparent, and we find that the rule of law doesn't apply on a consistent basis, and you have a media who aligns itself with the left wing, with the Marxist views, how can you have any faith and confidence in the media? I mean, just take a look at with the cocaine issue in the White House, okay, and how the propaganda princess Jean-Pierre has been spinning this. And it's like, you know, well, the first family was not in the White House on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. They weren't in the White House on Monday. Really? So basically, on Thursday, when it was revealed, or was it Friday, when they found the cocaine, okay, that means that she is deflecting to imply that the cocaine was only there on that day. So how does she know the cocaine was only there on that day when the first family was gone? Sometimes if it was in hiding, it could have been there for days. And to see the behavior on July the 4th of Hunter Biden on the balcony during the fireworks display and how upset Jill Biden got by Hunter Biden's actions, you know, there have been several people who have stated that Hunter Biden's what Hunter Biden was exhibiting was the same as someone that was on coke. Isn't it kind of interesting then to find coke? I mean, with all of the cameras that are in the White House, you know, they can't find the person who leaked the Supreme Court decision. Okay, now they can't find the individual or individuals who had cocaine in the White House in a secured area. Okay, but with 70 cameras. I didn't know it was 70 cameras. But yet they can find a grandmother, okay, from Iowa, who attended Washington D.C. was in the Capitol on January the 6th. 5 months later. That's amazing. Truly amazing that that can be. He was Boyd said, guys nailed it. The balcony, the way Hunter looked a little excited up with the family. Yeah, he was really excited. And Joe got so disturbed. So Al, here we have a situation then where the federal government can identify anybody and everybody who was at the January 16th rally, but they can't figure out who was in the White House. And as Dan Bongino stated, former Secret Service, the only persons that could have access to that area and not get checked for drugs, not get checked for what they were having are people inside the president's family or vice president's family for that matter.
Right. So they know who did it. If they don't know who did it, then they are grossly incompetent. I mean, you had the scooter riding shooter in New York. I don't know if you heard that story, but he was riding around on a mini scooter, and he was randomly shooting people in New York City. They caught him within 2 days. He killed two and wounded more. And then you got Miss Netherland beauty pageant, and the winner is a man.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Not that those two are anywhere remotely related in any possible way in on this planet, but how in the world do you have a Miss Netherland tournament and it's given to a man? The winner is and he was an ugly man with buck teeth. I think gender matters. I think that this man is making a mockery of all the other women in this beauty pageant that they literally worked their whole lives in order to win one of these pageants.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen. They just don't figure, I'm going to go get into the Miss World pageant. They got to go through, I think, minor pageants all the way up from local to get to the big national one, and then they give it to some dude, some man with a pecker. And he doesn't have a pecker. He still has the DNA of a man, so who the hell cares? It's a man. A man's a man. From birth until the celestial dirt map, and even then, 10,000 years after that, some archaeologist is going to dig up Mr. Netherland's bones and go, oh, this is a dude. This is a male Homo sapien. Oh, but Mr. Archaeologist, see that crown on his head? He was Miss Netherlands. He'll be, nope, that's Mr. Netherlands. I'm sick and tired of the lies, the gender lies. I've had it up to my eyeballs with it.
It's gotten to be where it's been made mainstream in America.
Right.
And in the meantime, it's a distraction because communist China is advancing their totalitarian ways all across the world. And to the delight of the World Economic Forum, to the delight of the United Nations, but the United Nations still looks to the United States to be the funding vehicle for all of their schemes and their con games, like the climate con.
Yep. Hell, just look at these communist TikTok challenges. I was watching one the other day when I was on my Twitter, and there's people jumping off of a boat going full speed as fast as they can. And they're jumping off the boat, and four people have already died. Then I watched another one where some dumbass is sitting on a can full of fireworks, and then he gets himself blown up. And then I saw another one where some idiot put a firecracker in his eye and had it blow up.
No.
It was the most disturbing thing that I've seen. And that's not to mention the fights with black people beating up white people. The bottom line on all this is TikTok is a communist Chinese propaganda machine, and they control all the algorithms and the content. And in China, TikTok in China does not have any of this because China shuts it all down. The only thing the kids learn on TikTok is love of country, love of President Xi, and love of education and the military. There's none of this other crap on TikTok that they have here because China's running an influence operation and winning. Oh, Lord have mercy.
And you know what? That what? Chinese nationalism, okay, is not called the question.
No.
And in the meantime, the same Chinese nationalism is helping to infiltrate the United States and our borders, and they're part of the People's Liberation Army, the Communist Chinese Liberation Army.
Yeah, I want to hear Americans and kids say the Pledge of Allegiance every day at school and talk about how much they love the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our free enterprise form of government. That's what I want. That's my world.
Great. You know what? What a great way to end. That's a great point.
That's a positive note. Sue,
yes,
that
is.
Was ending on a positive note. I love America. We all love America. Because America is great.
Hey, and another patriot who loves America is Hank Jones. Check out Hank Jones Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time with Poly Sports. You heard Hank here earlier and what his topics will be this coming Wednesday. Friday, time will be, it'll be announced. It may not be at noon time, but I might have a show, Take No Prisoners. On Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And check out other shows on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker.com. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on Friday afternoons with her great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. Friday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio. Simone Nicole. If you want an apolitical show, you want a great self-help show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Spreaker.com. I got to tell you, Gulf Dogs knows his self-help stuff. He's got some great, he's got great knowledge on vitamins and supplements, and Bigfoot is a master at music. That's all. You want someone who's a PhD at music, that's Bigfoot. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to audreyrusso.com. She is a great American. Joe Gibson, Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, Restoring Our Republic. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we thank you all for joining us today. Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you, Duck. Gulf Dogs, HRV Radio. I Guy, nice to see you, Guy. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. And Sue from New Mexico, nice to see you, Sue. Ducky says hello. And thank you for the call, Hank. Al, parting shots.
Adios, amigos, and have cluster bombs in every Ukrainian kitchen.
Thank you all for joining us. You all be safe out there. God bless the USA. Ciao, everybody.
Yes, it was my way.
Right on a button.
Great timing.
Yeah, a great comment at the end. That was a really good comment.
What, a cluster bomb in every Ukrainian kitchen?
No. keeping it positive.
That was a takeoff of a chicken in every pot. A cluster bomb in every Ukrainian. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was hysterical. All I can think about is John Kerry, the climate con man czar, the climate czar con man, the climate con man, talking about how bombs, they produce greenhouse gases and the emissions and they harm septic tanks. And now it's septic tanks are bad for the world. So I guess they'll be outlawing septic tanks soon. And in the meantime, he goes to NATO and we have to support our allies in Ukraine. And so now you've got, You've got the bumbling Biden who's going to talk about or mumble through a statement of supporting Ukraine. And on the other side, in another media, you've got John Lurch Kerry, the climate con man, talking about how bombing it affects the climate and adds to climate change. And right, okay. I mean, these people are shameless. They have no conscience. They have no patriotism. And they're self-serving elitists.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Figure he would be gone. Well, the only way they're going to turn things around is we got to elect Trump.
That's their biggest fear, isn't it? I mean, look at how upset the left wing has gotten when they don't get their way. So they're in the minority. They don't get their way. And now they're going to pack the court, the Supreme Court, because they don't like the U.S. Supreme Court upholding the U.S. Constitution, because that's what it amounts to. Okay, so now every day, every time the left wing gets annoyed at the Supreme Court's decisions, they basically tell the American people that they don't believe in the U.S. Constitution any longer. It's their perverted way of life in dismantling our constitutional republic, and therefore it's incumbent upon America to pack the courts so that they, the left wing, when they're in the minority, they're still dictating policies as if they were the majority. So that also tells you that we have a one-party system. I mean, I don't understand how Chuck Schumer and how AOC are getting more airtime than Speaker McCarthy or any member of the Republican Party, if they're in the majority. Other than there's an extreme bias within the media, and we all know there is an extreme bias. I mean, let's face it. When you watch the sycophants in the DNC media and their reporting, you know, you almost want to barf because of how can they actually say this with a straight face? The things that they
don't
say. Lambast President Trump, and then we have real word salads to go by, okay? And you've got two idiots standing side by side. And, like this one, Al.
And now I'm standing next to the president again, next to a collapsed bridge here.
Oh.
And he is here to commit to work with the governor and the delegation to make sure that we get this fixed quick, fast as well, too. This is a president that is committed to infrastructure.
Right? And
I don't speak that language.
But, you know, imagine if President Trump misstated a word, one word, and the DNC media would go absolutely, you know, ballistic over President Trump. Oh, is his mental capacity? And immediately Nancy Pelosi would jump in. He's mentally unfit. What has Biden been? And he's getting worse. The sad part is he's getting worse. His condition is not going to get any better. And his handlers continue to put him in stressful situations. And you can tell when he gets into a stressful situation, his mind goes. He's unfit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. They get rid of him. Then we have Kamala. So he is safe. he could be sitting in a wheelchair drooling on himself, and his job is safe because nobody wants Kamala in, and he planned it that way, which is pretty smart. You got to hand it to his handlers.
But you know what? If we truly had a Republican Party who believed in the rule of law, okay, you can file impeachment charges against one, Biden, and two, the Vice President, Communist Kamala Harris. Communist Kamala Harris is the official border czar as appointed by the President of the United States, and her negligence is allowed for the violation of Article 4, Section 4, and America being invaded, our states being invaded. So I don't know, you know, why, and we do know why, we understand why, okay? But the members of Congress, if there was a Nancy Pelosi on the left, on the right side of the aisle, supposed right side of the aisle, they would have filed charges against both of them, impeachment charges, and also impeached Mayorkas. I mean, it's outrageous what we are witnessing today.
Yeah, that it is. But so vote Trump.
All right. Yep.
What are we going to
read? we're going to elect Trump is what we're going to do. And we're going to send a message to the rest of the freaking political world, including the New World Order's World Economic Forum and United Nations. The United States isn't playing that game anymore.
No.
That's right. We the people, baby. We are going to follow the Declaration of Independence peacefully, and we are going to alter and abolish the Biden-Harris regime on November 5th, 2024. Bingo. Amen. God bless America. All right.
All right. As per the Constitution and the rule of law, let it be done, people of America.
That's correct. You got it.
Correct the mundo.
All right. Well, have a good evening. I'll talk to you later.
All right. May your
drive
be straight, and may you have many birdies this week.
Oh, God. Don't talk about birdies. Oh. Oh, I can't putt all of a sudden. It's driving me crazy.
I had the worst round of my life yesterday. Sunday. Yeah, I went from shooting an 80, which is really good for me. And then fell apart. But I guess that happens. That's part of it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, that's golf.
I know, but
it
still, nothing goes right, right?
Yeah, all you can do is shake your head and go, "Who am I? Why am I here? Why haven't I gone home yet?"
Yeah, there are some of those days like that. Yep.
That's how these pros keep it together for four solid days is just amazing, with unbelievable pressure for their livelihood. I tell you.
Yeah. You know what? I think the fact that it's just rote to them. And if you and I were playing every day and practicing every day, and that was the only thing we could focus on, I think we would certainly play better, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, to a certain degree, but when you get to a level, when you're counting the grooves on your club and where the ball hits it and how it reacts off the second groove or the third groove or the fourth groove.
Right.
You are in a very high level golf place that few people ever get to.
That's true.
So all of a sudden your degree of error goes from either from the toe to the heel to a groove on your iron. It's all relative. I mean, it's got to be all relative.
Yeah. I guess you're playing so much golf that you feel it. You know exactly what the club's going to do and where it's hit, and you know what your shots are like. You're doing it so often that you actually get a feel. So
right, and you know how your body feels when it's relaxed or stiff or you're over swinging to compensate for something else, and then it's a whole thing. What a great game this golf is.
I know. Absolutely love it.
I hate it, and I love it.
I know.
I hate it, and then I love it.
I agree. I hate it, and I love it. It happens. All right, Al. Have a nice evening. I'll talk
All
to
right.
you later.
You too, my friend. Have a great
All right.
week.
All right, you as well.
Catch you on the
Bye.
Flip side.
All right.